He-Man. Thank you, sir. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. We'll go ahead and we'll start in verse number 9. Acts chapter 6, verse 9. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for just everything that you've been doing, Lord. I know that sometimes it seems difficult, and sometimes, Lord, there's a lot of stress involved, Lord. But I thank you for everything that you are doing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, God. And Lord, I just pray that today as we open up your word, Lord, and as we start reading and learning, God, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would show us what you want us to know and what you want us to learn about in the message, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you would also help us, God, and guide us to be able to apply it in our lives. Lord, I pray that today you would just take me completely out of the message and that it would be you just speaking through me, Lord, to your people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So as we left off in the last two weeks, right? Just a quick recap. There were issues going on in the early church, right? We know that it wasn't anything perfect. We know that they just had obedience. They just wanted to obey. They wanted to follow God. And in doing that, there were issues that rose up. And as those issues rose up, they had to find a way to fix things. So what was going on was there were a section of widows or a certain widows that weren't being fed. And the disciples got together, the apostles got together and said, okay, well, how can we fix this issue? Right? And they chose from among them seven men to be able to wholly devote themselves to that task to make sure that it didn't go unnoticed, right? And of course, from that, we saw how we just need to step up. Well, now we're in verse chapter 8 of Acts chapter 6. And the Bible says this, now Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then some men rose up from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. But they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and led him to the Sanhedrin and set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses handed down to us. All who sat in the Sanhedrin gazing at him saw his face as the face of an angel. Now, as we left off in verse 8 here, now Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen was full of grace, right? The Bible said he was full of power. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of wisdom. He was full of faith. And I'm sure that it's been said, right? I'm sure that we've heard this before, that with great power comes great responsibility, and it's no less for a Christian. You know, Faithway, we are saved by the grace of God, and because we're saved, that doesn't mean that just now it's, oh, okay, I'm good. I'm good. There's nothing else I ever need to do. I'm good. I received the golden ticket. Right? No, there's a responsibility that comes with that. And what we see here is that in their journey to obey God rather than man, it was inevitable that one of Christ's followers would pay the ultimate price for their devotion. And we're going to see the history of Stephen and what happened to Stephen in the next chapter to come, right? We will see that Stephen became the first martyr of the church. But we realize how this servant, how Stephen was winning the lost, how Stephen was preaching the gospel, how he was doing everything that he could for his Savior. And listen, if I can just, you know, interject a little bit and maybe just add something to that, it's what are we doing for the cause of Christ? You know, I believe that, and I know I've said this, and it keeps coming up, and it's on my heart, and it's on my mind. I just don't want to get to a place at a church that we are just comfortable. Do you know what I mean? Where we're comfortable. We just come to church, we sit down, we listen to a message, we worship, we drink some coffee, and we all know that, hey, coffee, donuts, and that whatever that was downstairs, ricotta, rice pudding, I get it. We got some amazing things going on. But it's more than that. It is so much more than that, because each and every one of us have a responsibility outside of this church building to proclaim Jesus Christ. Do you see that? We all have a responsibility. But what happens is this, is that we see that Stephen paid the ultimate price. We're going to see in the next chapter that Stephen was martyred. Stephen was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to start reading about that here in a moment. But Christians in this day and age, we don't want to get, we don't want to be troubled. We don't want Jesus. We don't want the church. We don't want serving to interfere with our schedules. Now, this isn't a message about serving, right? We're just going verse by verse right now. But what I'm saying is that we normally say no to things because it bothers me. It's my time. It comes in my schedule. And what I'm saying, all of us have that responsibility to go to preach the gospel. But I want to make sure I say this, right? With that type of obedience, troubles and persecution will come. Because every time that you want to do something for Christ, any time that you want to make him happy, any time that you want to glorify him, any time that you want to be obedient, who do you think doesn't like that? Guys, there's an enemy. Satan is real, and he attacks and he fights and he troubles us because we go contrary to the way of this world. At least we hope we do, right? Can I tell you this? I forgot who I was talking to the other day, and I said, the leadership team as a whole, and I don't know about deacons. I haven't talked to the deacons about this. But I believe that the leadership team as a whole has had trouble for the last month and a half. Has had issues come into their life where at least half of them are like, pray for me. I'm going through this. Pray for me. I'm going through this. Pray for me. I just encountered this. Pray for this situation, right? And we're like, we've never gone through that before. And what I mean never gone through that is, nothing has really been that bad up until this point, right? Again, I know certain people, and it's just like, Adrian, I feel like Satan's attacking me. I feel like Satan is just throwing those fiery darts. I feel like I'm just being attacked. I feel that spiritual warfare going on in my life. And I start thinking, I'm like, what's been going on recently? What have we been doing? What are we about to do? What have we been preaching? Because guys, again, our prayer and our hope, and again, most of the leaders are here for you guys to tell me if I'm wrong, right? Our goal and our desire is not to become massive. We're not, all right, we're going to be a mega church in Eastern Connecticut. That is our goal, right? Now, I don't know what God's going to do, but that's not the goal. And many times the church has said, well, listen, let's start churches. If we get to 250, 300, whatever, let's start churches. Where are the people coming from? Can we expand? Can we have a bigger influence over people? And I'm like, you know what? That's a very good idea. Again, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm just telling you this part. And who doesn't like that? Guys, right now, and let's put all the cards out on the table. Right now, you're about to stay behind and plan a vacation Bible school. What is the number one reason to have a vacation Bible school? Can somebody just yell that out for me? Teach kids the gospel. Outreach to share the gospel. That's the number one reason. It's not, hey, we're a daycare. Come on, we want to be a blessing to you. Just drop your kids off and we'll let them do whatever they want. No. The number one reason that we have vacation Bible school, that we have any event, is to share and to proclaim the gospel. And can I tell you something? I never really questioned my faith as much as my freshman year of, outside of Bible college, but my freshman year in a community college. Never questioned it. And all of a sudden, when I get in there, what I believed was stupid. And what I put my faith and trust in was ignorance. And that's coming from my professor. So what do you think is going to happen to our kids, and not just in college, but in school now? What you believe in and who you believe in doesn't matter. It isn't real, so why do it? Why uncomfort yourselves? Why put yourself in that situation? So what do we try to do? It's in the Bible. Let the little children come to me, right? So we want to preach to them, because with childlike faith, they will receive. Do we see that? So we want to spread the gospel. We want to see people saved. I'm not saying that, you know, however many kids come, 50, 100, 150, praise God. I know VBS workers are like, no, you know. However many come, will they all be saved? Well, no. But it's our job to proclaim. It's our job to preach the gospel. But here's what I'm trying to get at. I can almost certainly guarantee that if you're serving in that capacity, if you're about to make that big of an impact, something will happen in your life. Something uncomfortable will happen in your life. Because remember, and I'm not going to run around again today, remember when we talked about Satan as a roaring lion, right? How does the Bible go? Seeking whom he may devour. He's on the prowl. And if you're going to oppose him, then he is 100% against you and will try to make you ineffective in the ministry. Do you see that? It will happen, and that's what happened with Stephen here. He was a servant. He was preaching the gospel. He was doing anything that he could. He was being obedient and available. Look at verse 9. Then some men rose up from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. But they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Now listen, Stephen was tender yet tough, but he faced fierce opposition from the synagogue of freedmen. Now in Jerusalem at that time, there were approximately 390 to 480 synagogues. And imagine that they were like places of worship today. Each one was different and attracted a different group of people. Now, this specific synagogue, for example, consisted of Jews from foreign countries around northern Africa and Asia Minor who were formerly slaves but had gained their freedom and organized a synagogue in Jerusalem. Now, it's quite possible that Stephen came out of a group like this one since they were Hellenistic Jews. These men were probably offended by Stephen's outspoken faith in Jesus as the Messiah, which we'll see in the next chapter, and his defense of the gospel, so they challenged him publicly. Now, this week and next, and possibly even the week after, well, I'm sorry, not Mother's Day, right? But in these next several weeks, what you're going to see, you're going to see a similarity between the trials of Jesus Christ and the trials that Stephen is also going through or was going through. God was, of course, with Stephen, which means that he was wise and his arguments to these people made sense. And I believe that as we speak of it today, God spoke through him. Matthew Henry said this, they, Stephen's critics, thought they had only disputed with Stephen, but they were disputing with the Spirit of God in him for whom they were on an equal match. Look at verse 11. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and led him to the Sanhedrin. Now listen, funny how what happened over 2,000 years ago still happens today. Because since they failed to prove Stephen wrong, his adversaries went the route of false accusations and slandering. Has that ever happened to you? Have you heard of that happening before? Right? They can't prove you wrong. They can't drag you through the mud. So then it's like, let me make something up. All right? Think of a child. Right? You're wrong. I'm not wrong. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. Well, mom said this, etc. You're ugly. It happens. It happens from the littlest of us, yes or no? And that's what they were doing with Stephen. Matthew 26, verse 59 says, the chief priests and the elders and the entire Sanhedrin searched for false prophets against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Yes, though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. Do you see that? False witnesses came up against our Lord, and false witnesses came up against Stephen. And Christian, a time will come when this too may happen to you. Look at John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, since I chose you out of the world, The world therefore hates you. All right, I'm doing it. Do you see that today? If you have morals, if you believe in God, if you believe in living a holy and a separated life, you are this world's enemy. And they are against you. And they will do anything in their power to destroy you. Oh, liberty and freedom of choice? No. No. If you go against this world, you are hated. Jeremy, is what you're doing biblical or unbiblical? Sitting? Not sitting. Your work. Your ministry. It's biblical, right? It's biblical. Jeremy is going out there and trying to talk to women with his staff to make sure that, you know what, yes, you went off, and yes, you had sex, and hey, you had unprotected sex, and now you're pregnant, and now you don't know what to do, and now you know where to go. But you know what? Let's think of that baby. Let's see it for the life that it is, for the baby that it is, the one that God knows, right? Don't just throw it away. Don't just get an abortion. So let me ask you this. Is that easy? Do you have trials? Are you constantly fighting because people say that you cannot, you just don't see it because you don't allow them to have a choice and you're trying to spread something falsely, right? Especially over at UConn, right? Well, you're trying to do something. You're trying to take that choice away from women. No, he's trying to follow the Bible. And because he's doing that, he is looked down upon. And I'm sure he's spat upon. You know, two years ago, we had the Caring Families Banquet. Man, and I remember that the police actually had to be there that day. The police had to be there to escort us in so that we wouldn't get hurt. Because a literal mob had congregated outside. Why? Because we believed in this. Now, knowing that and thinking about that, let's try this again. Verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you believed like the world, right? If you believed just like them, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, since I chose you out of the world therefore hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my words, they will keep yours also. But all these things that they will do to you for my name, I'm sorry, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know who sent me. So guys, all right, let's stand back. Does that mean that we are to retaliate the same way? Does that mean that we're supposed to hate those that hate us? No. Well, hold on a second. But hold on. They spit on me. They throw false accusations at me. They hate me. What else am I supposed to do? Love them. Pray for them. Because did you catch this at the end here? But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. Listen. Because they do not know him who sent me. They don't know him. They don't know the God that we know. They don't know the love that he shows us. They don't know the grace that he offers. So what do you think your responsibility as a Christian is? What? Show them what? Show them God's love. How do you think you could show them God's love? Okay, I see that. Through your actions, through things you say. I have something in mind, though. Something very specific. I think it's in John. John chapter 3. John 3:16, I believe. How's that go? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So here's God showing what love is. Ultimate love, right? Because ultimate love is giving your life for someone. Right? So this is ultimate love. Here are those that hate us, those that despise us, and we want to show them love. So the best way to show them love, again, in my mind, is to tell them about the great love. Right? And how do we tell them? By just not doing anything? By just keeping our mouth shut? Come on, guys. Come on. We talk, right? Hey, you were very talkative during announcements. And you know what? I'm okay with that. It's announcements. It's what we do. But now we're in Bible. Now we're serious. And now that, I'm not saying a word. Right? How do we do it? By being quiet? No, we do it by being physical, by being vocal, by telling them, by physically telling them that God loves them. And that whole point, again, of Vacation Bible School, man, they're going to act a fool. They're going to be running around in suits and, you know, acting all silly for kids. Why? So that they can give them the gospel, so that they can preach the gospel, so that they can say, listen, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you've done, but God loves you. Do you see that? And who do you think he uses to say God loves you? Every single one of you. Every single one of you. Well, but I don't know if I can. You can. One way, shape, or form, you can. And I'm not talking about serving today, but when we say we can't, I see it as us ourselves putting limitations on God. And it's not I can't, but you can't. And Noah told me this the other day. He's like, you know, Pastor, he can make a donkey speak. He can use a donkey. You know, that makes me think of, if he can use a donkey, why can't he use you? Oh, some of you are like, oh, man, it's either conviction or you're falling asleep. I don't know. Let's find out in a second. Stephen's accusers stirred up the Jewish people. They had soldiers, the soldiers arrested him, and they forcibly brought him. We read that. Verse 13. And they set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs which Moses handed down to us. Once again, the truth was twisted. Stephen was preaching what he was taught. He was preaching what he believed. He spoke of Christ, and his critics took it as an attack on their religious institution and on the Mosaic law, which in their eyes was unpatriotic, right? And the same accusation was given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Mark 14:58. We heard him say, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hands. What Peter proclaimed was what John clarified in John 2:19. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking concerning the temple of his body. Do you see the difference? Do you see that difference? Now, I want to go back up a little bit. When I said he spoke of Christ and his critics, and they took it as an attack on their religious institution. Have you realized, again, here we go, when you stand for the word of God, it's an attack on them, right? Guys, I haven't been at rallies, and I haven't been at you know, these marches, and I haven't thrown rocks or spray cans or anything else at anybody. I haven't done that, and I may not agree with them, but I'm not going to fight fire. Is it fire with fire, I guess? I'm not going to spew out hate just because they hate me. They hate us. Because ultimately, it's not that they hate Adrian. It's that they hate what this stands for. So the attack is not on you. The attack is on him. The Jews were jealous over their law, and they could not understand how Christ had come to bring in a new age. They were proud of their temple, and they refused to believe that God would permit it to be destroyed. Verse 15, all who sat in the Sanhedrin gazing at him saw his face as the face of an angel. Stephen's face had a countenance of an angel, meaning he had the appearance of one who stands in the presence of the Lord, right? Where did we see that last? Look at Exodus 34:29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with 2 tablets of testimony in the hands of Moses, when he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, amazingly, the skin on his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Or what about in Judges 13:6? a man of God came to me. He looked like a very fearsome angel of God. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. The way I see it, when we are with Jesus, people see it. And Stephen proceeded to function as an angel, as a messenger of God, as well as looking like one by bringing new revelation to his hearers. I'm going to stop for a second. I'm done. I am. Look, I'm done. Why do we do what we do? Why do you get up every Sunday morning to come to church? Why do you go through the hassle of getting all the kids up? If you have kids, right? And if you have kids, we know that's a struggle. Why do you go through that to come here? Is it truly to worship God? Is it truly for Him? Or is it for self? Because it makes you feel good to be here. I personally don't want Faithway to get to that point where we just do it out of obligation. I'm just here because I'm here. Because the last I heard, it's a joy to serve the Lord. And if that joy is gone, does that mean that He's gone? No. I've heard it said this way, that we use the excuse of, God, I can't hear you. God, you're not, you know, I just don't hear your voice. I just don't feel you around me anymore. I don't feel the same. And we get mad and we accuse God because, well, God, surely He left me. When in all actuality, it's that we left His side. Right? Do you see that? So we're walking side by side. We hear Him. We feel Him. We have that relationship. We're going forward. Man, I love Him and He loves me and we have a really strong relationship. And then all of a sudden we catch ourselves over here. I just don't feel the same. I kind of hear Him. I hear a little bit of a whisper and, you know, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know why He's left me. And then all of a sudden we catch ourselves over here and it's like, well, God, I don't know where you are. Where'd you go? Why'd you leave me? Why have you forsaken me? I think we've read that somewhere, right? But let me ask you this, if we started over there, and He's over there, and I'm over here, who left who? Right? So I think we need to take a look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I doing what I need to do to make sure that I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ? That I am still following Him, that I have not left His side? And if I have left His side, how can I come back to Him? And then we bring it back to this, okay? How do you show your spouse that you love them? Time. Okay. Do you think an I love you works? And that's it? What? Yeah? Huh? It's part of it. So what else do you have to do? Women, here's your time. How do you show you? How does your husband show you that? What should your husband do to show you that they love you? That is so simple and it's so true. Is that you, Anna? Take out the trash. So simple, right? Do you know what crystals is? Right now, crystals got a lot. And baby, I love you, and I'm not saying this for a bad reason, right? Crystal is this: just put the kids to bed. Just put the kids to bed. I've been with them all day. Just put the kids to bed. Right? Look at her. She's in the back. Yes! Yes! You know it! Right? So let me ask you this. Is it enough to just get on our knees and say, God, I love you. I love you. You mean the world to me. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for you. God, I love you. Is that enough? No, because it's shallow. Actions. Have you heard this? Actions speak louder than words. Now, I want you to think about this, right? You had two women respond. Both of them were actions. Just take out the stinking trash. Just take out the trash. Just take out the trash. Just put the kids to bed. Just physically put them to bed. Do something about it. So, Christian, How can we physically show God that we love him? Oh, I love it. Give water, give food, and give clothes. That's good. I'm done with this really quick. So what happens is that we focus on the outside, right? We give them water. We give people food, right? We say, hey, I'll take care of your physical needs. But we always, not always, but many times we forsake the spiritual, right? We forsake the spiritual. And I want to make sure that we don't forget that. I want to make sure that as we go forth, as we grow, guys, hear me out. Kyle, this is your fault. You sat in the front. You sat there again. Come here. He'll learn one day. He'll learn one day. I love you. I love you. If you're in the back, I probably would have called you up, by the way. New person comes to church, right? New person comes to church. And we're just like, hey, man, how's it going? All right, yeah. You're a Patriots fan? Oh, no, you're a Bucks fan now, aren't you? You know, or whatever the case is, right? We build up that bond. Hey, man, you seem like a cool dude. You want to come over to my house? We're going to have a barbecue this weekend. We're going to have a fire this weekend, right, Tracy? We're going to have a fire this weekend. You want to come over? And we try to bond because we try to be like, well, this is a cool person, right? And if you see this person in need, we try to help him, but on the outside. But how often do we go to the spiritual and wonder this? Do they know Jesus? Because let me ask you this. What if Kyle were to come to church? And what if Kyle were to stay here and feel comfortable here because he likes the donuts? He likes those blessed cannolis, right? And he just feels comfortable here. And something were to happen and Kyle dies. And you never took the time. You never took the time to give him this. Because we are worried about, you know, it's my bro now, man. I like him. He's cool. We can hang out now. You can sit down. But think about it. How often do we just go through life and just do the motions and not worry about it? And you know what? While I don't agree with a lot of denominations, especially the ones that I came out of, what I did appreciate was that they focused on the soul, meaning, do they know Jesus? Now, I don't agree on how they did it, but they were like, do they know Christ? And they worried about that, right? So what I'm trying to get to is this, is that Stephen was persecuted because he obeyed God. Because even though things would be bad for him, he still said, you know what, I'm going to preach what I know. And I'm going to preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again because that's what I believe in, right? And if I want to leave you with this one thought, what are you doing to show obedience? What are you doing to prove to him that you love him? Because again, love is an action. He proved that he loved you by sending his son to die for you. I believe at the very least, what you can do is, oh, I don't know, tell others about him. Right? Worry about people's souls. Remember how I talked about having a balance? You need to have a compassion ministry. You got to have that. You got to worry about people. You got to worry about, you know, are they going to have clean water? Are they going to have food? Are they going to have clothes? But don't focus on that and forsake the gospel, just like don't just focus on the gospel and forget about the other. There's got to be a balance. So as we go forward, and as we think about Vacation Bible School, remember, the whole point is to preach the gospel. That's our point. That's our mission. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that many times in our life we catch ourselves asking why. Why do things happen? Why there's persecution? Why there's hate? And many times why we don't have the same relationship with you that we once did, God. And Lord, I guess my prayer is twofold. Lord, if there's anyone here today or anybody that will eventually watch this message, Lord, that finds himself separated from you, that finds themselves farther away from your love and from your care and from your presence, God, I just pray that they would just take the time to examine themselves and say, well, if he's not the one that left, then it was me. And to figure out, Lord, with your help, how they can get back to you. And Lord, the other side, the other part of my prayer is this, God. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a passion for your word. I pray that you'd give us a passion for the gospel. I pray that you'd give us a passion for souls, God. Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, and I don't know, maybe it's because it's on my mind, God, but in everything that we do, Lord, I love to have the interaction, and I want to have, you know, the luncheons and the breakfast and the get-togethers and the work days, but I think I heard it or I saw it read somewhere, Lord, that the Holy Spirit could be taken from us and that many churches would continue the way they've always run, that nothing would change. And Lord, I don't want that to be us, and I don't want it to be our people's lives. Lord, help us to focus on you. And help us to focus on your word. Help us to grow. Help us to come near, Lord. And help us to preach the gospel. Lord, we can send money. We can physically go. But we can also just stay and proclaim. Help us, God. In your holy and in your precious name, I pray. Amen.